Before we get started, just a heads up, if the sisters have a question, they can send it on the WhatsApp group if anyone can remind me, and or they have a tadabbur, or they have an idea. Feel free to join. The goal of these reflections is that the Qur'an sticks with us throughout the week, and we reflect on it. It just doesn't become a session of like tafsir, and that's it, and we go away. So the goal of these reflections in the Qur'an is to understand how do we come closer to Allah and how do we build this depth of relationship. And ultimately, the chosen story of today, the chosen surah of today, might not seem on its outward, there's going to be much to it. But I promise you today, inshallah, it's one of my favorites. The connection between Surah Al-Ma'un in juz number 30 and Surah Al-Ma'arij in juz number 29. Okay, so from but we're going to go from the middle of Surah. We're not going to begin from Sa'la Sa'la Ba'adab and Waqa. We're going to go lightly in it, but we're going to take the two surahs. So what is the ask today? I put the translations in the WhatsApp group. I like to change the way we do things. Why? Because change makes things more sticky. The more routine, the more you guys get used to a style, the more you're like, I know what to expect, and you forget. It's like driving. And we don't want to be in driving mode. Qur'an needs you to be always alert. Even the Prophet ﷺ, when he'd sometimes teach, he would draw in the sand sometimes. He would change his methodology, and the prophetic way is the best way of teaching. May Allah grant us all the ability to teach like the Prophet ﷺ. So the ask is, I would love for you to read the translation of WhatsApp group Surah Ma'un and the translation in Surah Al-Ma'arij. Now, Ma'un, just a light meaning, it has a few meanings, but it's everything beneficial and good that comes out, and it's a light format of good. It's ihsan, but it's light ihsan. So it's, you know, when you hear the word ma'un, also if you're an Arab, you remember a dish. So anyone who's Middle Eastern, they hear the word ma'un, dish. It is, one of the meanings is dish, because dish is something you would give to your neighbors. So ma'un, ma'un, so sometimes, even, I believe in Iraqi culture, because my kids tell me ma'un. I'm not Iraqi, but they speak Iraqi to me. And they tell me ma'un, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Surah Ma'un, they're like, no, we want to eat. So ma'un is a dish. Surah Al-Ma'arij is ascending. And it also has multiple meanings. Ascending. But I want you to think, modern day, escalators going from here to the sky. Or elevators going from here to the sky. And you have multiple elevators going from here to the sky. And Allah is showing you how the angels are ascending in the sky, but I want you to connect the tadabbur today, the two surahs. So why don't we take 2-3 minutes, if you've read it already, why don't we begin contemplation? The goal is to make us all think. The Qur'an is supposed to make us tadabbur. Let's start it differently today. What do you guys notice between the verses I shared in Ma'un and the verses I shared in Ma'arij? Any overlap? And the sisters upstairs, feel free to, we can watch the WhatsApp group if possible, inshallah. Any tadabbur? Yes.
What is the chapter number name for the second surah? Which was
chapter 20, surah name or surah?
Surah number.
70. Okay, yeah. 70, and then go towards, let me just see if I have it open here or something. But go to verses 22 to 35. And then I want you to go to Surah Al-Ma'un and reflect on, and the keyword I want you to go around is nested in between, the beginning of verse 22 and in the middle of Surah Al-Ma'un. Let's reflect. What's the keyword here that might help us connect? There might be a few, but there's one that's glaring. Salah and sadaqah. Salah and sadaqah. So, al-musalliyin is mentioned in both. One says, fawailun lil-musalliyin. It's a warning. And the other one, if you go back a few verses, innal insana khuliqa halu'a. When you look at it, it'll say, except those who pray, or the English translation for it is prayerful. the one that constantly prays. But I want you to read it and come out with more stuff. What do you notice? So we said a beautiful charity. We said salah, prayer. What do you notice in it? What's the state of ma'un and the state of ma'arij? Does it describe the same type of prayer or a different type of prayer?
Hypocrisy.
Sorry?
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy in ma'un. Ma'un has hypocrisy. And ma'arij, does it have hypocrisy in it, or does it sound like a good list of attributes when you read it? What do you feel? Starting from 22 going down, do you feel this is a positive definition of praying?
It's how to overcome.
So it's in a positive manner. If you combine both, you're going to see today, inshallah, if we exit today understanding what the prayer entails in both surahs, we will, inshallah, come out differently in understanding of salah. The likelihood that we come out with the same definition of salah, all of us today, is very low. The same definition. Inshallah, we'll come out with a better definition. Let's begin from al-ma'un. What surrounds the surahs of al-ma'un before it and after? Surah Quraysh before and after Surah Kawthar. Let's look at that sequence. So we said al-ma'un is this beneficial goodness, is this it's a light form of ihsan. It has this form of not just, it's not an extreme ihsan, it's this subtle, you know, back home when the neighbors would knock, you would give salt, pepper. Remember this? This is kind of ma'un. And even when in charity organizations, they say i'ana, that word comes from also the same core, the same shared attribute of ma'un. So this idea of helping, serving society. Matter of fact, if we understand Surah Al-Ma'un, what would happen? You would start to notice that this is a different way of building a country. And you'll start to see why governments should not be intervening fully in helping the poor the way they do. And they should trust society and other people with higher compassion to help out. Because it's not just a financial transaction. Right now, in the modern state, when we talk about poor people, our mind drifts, it's the country's problem. It's the government's problem. I have a problem with that definition, okay? I might be wrong. I have a problem with that definition. Because it takes away from society the responsibility of one to the other. It treats citizens as a chessboard. You move forward, you move backward. It's like, instead of a compassionate society, I say it's the prime minister's problem. They should take care of the poor. And it takes it away from citizens. There should be, I'm not saying there are no charities or all of that, but I'm just saying the idea of helping the poor has become more of not my problem. We need to understand that context when we read Surah Al-Ma'un. So let's start reading Surah Al-Ma'un in English, inshallah. I'll read it in English. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The first ayah, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you seen the one who denies the recompense? Or the mainly deen here talks about the day of judgment, the hisab component. Did you see the one who denies it? So the first ayah says the one denying. Biddin, you can't, biddin has many meanings. One of it is the yawm al-hisab. And strangely, the next ayah, fa thalik. What happened? Someone denied that they're going to get judged, or a judgment day, or hisab. They denied it. Oh, فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. It is that one who mistreats the orphan. What happened? Someone said, I do not believe in judgment day, or I do not believe I'm going to get judged. Why is the next, فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ? What happened? The scene skipped something. We're going to get to it. And does not urge others, يَحُبْ. Yahud, this encouraging others to serve food to the miskeen. To the miskeen, the poor, the one who is in need of food. So they do two things. They push out, they mistreat an orphan. And they do not encourage to help the poor. Now you start to notice right now, we might be part of that verse. I might be part of that verse. I don't actively go out there and say we should help the poor people. Am I not? Is this a problem? We're gonna have to answer that question, because, and this is why I'm going back to the idea. I remember one of the sheikh used to say it, and I kept looking for that hadith and I could never find it. But one sheikh used to say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would feed up to 70 miskins a day, miskins and orphans a day, for 10 years. Now that confirmation, I could never find that number in any hadith or in any this. He's a very well-known scholar. But again, I say, because you have to give, where's the sanad of everything? But if that is true, we're talking about 250,000 meals at minimum of help. Now you're going to be like, wait a second, you took us on a tangent. You talked to us about salah, and you're coming from this completely different angle talking about yadu' al-yateem and yahuddu ala ta'am al-miskeen. What's going on? And then a warning, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, also another strange warning. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ, so woe. Arab, when they say wail, is like, for me it sounds always like an angry Arab mother. I'm Arab, so it's an angry Arab mother. وَيْلَكْ يَا وَلَدْ. When we hear wail, we're like, oh my God, oh my Lord, what went wrong? Wail sounds in the Arabic language like a warning. So woe to those who pray. Can anyone connect the dots?
Yeah.
What? Let's talk about it. How can we connect the dot?
I mean, like verse 83, that one puts salah at the end.
Yeah, put salah.
And then zakah.
But then if you look at the next verse, Ya Allah, which type of musallin are you talking about? Is this me, the one who prays, or who is it? الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَهُونَ. One of their attributes of the salah is those who are heedless of their prayers. They don't pay attention to their salah that much. If I prayed it on time, maybe good. If it didn't happen, you know, it didn't happen. And the salah is not really part of their day. Sahun is like you're in a ghafla, in a state of ignorance about your salah. Like, you know it's there, but you know what? If I land it, it's nice. If I don't, it's not a big deal. So sahun could describe our state. That salah is not a serious matter, but what's the relationship between the salah and helping the orphans and the poor? Why would Allah send us a surah? And the surah is named after the last word in the surah, like it, which is kind of rare. The last word becomes the title of the surah. Let's keep going. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ. Those who make show of their deeds. So their salah is about, like, how will other people talk about me and my salah? Like, how will people view my salah? So the salah is a show. And the salah is, like, I did it because my parents said so. Do you do it for Allah or do you do it because your parents said so? Which one is it? So yura'un could be someone that says, I'm just doing it, man. Like, I don't know. But the goal of salah is that you and Allah are connected. And you ask Allah for what you want. So does that mean I stop salah? Never stop salah. Never, ever, ever stop salah at any point. Always do salah. The question is, how do we make the quality of the salah better so we don't fall into this group? الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَعُونَ. And then, at the very end, وَيَمْنَعُونَ. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. And withhold little kindness. The little ihsan, the ma'un, think of it as neighbors giving each other salt. They even block that. It is said, and this is not the main narrative, that this was revealed about Abu Jahl blocking the orphans from getting money when he was giving it out. Basically, you would give orphans money when you want the people in the town to say, look at Abu Jahl, he gives people to money to the poor. But when the people go away, he smacks the orphan, he's like, get out of here. That attitude of, for the camera I smile, in the background I really don't care about the orphan. This is surah number one. Let's look at the sequence of the surah before it. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ. إِلَاف is such a rare word. What is إِلَاف? So the surah before it says, for the lasting security of Quraysh. Also, ilaf is habit, or when something always happens every year, like if there's a conference everywhere and it becomes a habit, it becomes, that's ma'luf, ilaf, all these words talk about something that is recognized and well known, and it happens often. So li'ilafi Quraysh. So Allah is giving a message to Quraysh and says their lasting security during winter and summer journeys. So Allah is reminding them, just to give you a background of Quraysh, Quraysh in Arabia, the great great grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lived at a time when there was famine in Arabia. The name Quraysh, which one of its names is shark, qirsh, or another word is a coin. Egyptians know irsh or qirsh. It's used as coin. But they were why were they labeled Quraysh? Because this amazing, amazing great-grandfather of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brokered one of the best economic deals in Arabia to bring together. They were all pirates. They were all bandits. They were all... Everyone, you had a caravan coming, they would stop it, take everything, and boom, take your camel, take your horses, you walk, if you find your way back home. That was the state. So he was able to buy out all the camels in the Arabia and made a deal with the Romans, and he created this trade route, al-shita wal-saif, the winter and summer. They used to do this caravan where they go up to the Syria, what's known as today Syria, Palestine, and all of that, al-Sham, and towards Yemen in the south. They had a dual trip and trade, and ever since that economic deal, that's why the grandfather, the great-grandfather, the Prophet ﷺ, was a brilliant, he was a real economist, not the ones we see on CNN and all these. He's the one that reformed Arabia. That's what gave Mecca its aura. That's before the Prophet ﷺ was born. So that became Quraysh. So Allah is reminding them, who gave you the rizq, really, of this rihlat al-shita wal-saif, that Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl are like, this is mine! That entitlement. So Allah's diffusing the entitlement. Notice how he's diffusing the entitlement before Surah Al-Ma'un, which is very powerful, because he'll say, so let them worship the Lord of this house. Who did what? Who has fed them toward of hunger and has secured them toward of fear. So he protected, he gave, you guys were going to be hungry in Arabia, and Allah gave you an economic deal like no other, a rizq, and you're not respecting it. Technically, how do I think of this? It's as if orphans were mentioned in Ma'un. And Allah is telling them, لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ, you are also being fed as if you're orphans. You have people of Quraysh that are so happy with their businesses. You're so happy with this. It's as if Allah is showing them, the reason you should be feeding other people is because you're being fed by Allah. So Surat Quraysh comes before Surat Al-Ma'un and lays the ground, who owns the money. Now you start seeing the connection of the one who provided you security and one who fed you of hunger and provided you security. These two things are mentioned in Ma'un. The one who mistreated the orphan, security. You know, why don't you shield them? They're vulnerable. Why does Allah tie the salah to an orphan? It's very powerful. Why? Because if you protect the most vulnerable group in a society, you'll build a fair system. If you don't care about the most vulnerable group in society, you will be a tyrant. And this is why you know from these surahs, when we say in a khutbah, we know the world is going to get worse. Why? You're going to see in Surah Al-Ma'arij. You're going to see that Allah gives you 1 plus 1 equals 2. 2 plus 2 equals 4. It's math. He shows you his sunnah. What happens to your heart? If it gets corrupt, it becomes harsh. Allah shows you the sequence of how humans, when they derail, what happens. That's surah number Quraysh. And then we have Ma'un. And then we have Kawthar. Kawthar, inna a'tainaka al-Kawthar. Who knows what Kawthar could be? It's a river in Jannah. That's one of its meanings. And also it's khayr kathir. It's Allah said on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have given you a lot of good. One of its translation is the river of Kawthar in Jannah. So we have given you Jannah, and we have given you a lot of khair. Why? Because the Sahaba came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam after his son died and said, you are abtar. Abtar means you can't have a son. And they teased him about it. So, look how Allah, before the Hul Abtar is right there, but look at the surahs leading up to it. Allah's saying the abtar is the one that can't help the orphan and can't help the poor people. That is abtar. You are not abtar. Because you are helping the homeless people. And you are helping the masakeen. So this is why, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. Did they call you abtar? No. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ. The other one, that guy there. Now you see the three surahs back to back and the building block. Also, notice how in Surah Al-Kawthar, إِنَّ عَتَنَكَ قَصَرْ فَصَلِّ. Salah came also in the surah. But this is a good salah now. And then one harb. What's one harb? To slaughter an animal and to give the meat. So, Ya Rasulullah, your salah is different than the salah of those who just, you know, they're just going through their day, man, I have to pray. I actually don't like when people say the salah is just an obligation. Why? Because it's talking about the minimum of salah, the rule, the speed limit. The salah has the potential to be a door to transform your life. If you're saying salah is an obligation, I agree. At minimum. But no one knows the maximum of what salah can do to a human. Now, that will explain Surah Al-Ma'arij. But let me just take a pause. I went through Surah Quraysh. We get the idea of Allah reminding Quraysh, you have been provided a tremendous economy. Does that remind you of any country in the world today? Given a tremendous economy, and you're abusing Allah. You're taking that. We built the economy. We built our security structure. We have built this. Allah says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Worship the Lord of this house. Worship the Lord of the Kaaba. And this, by the way, Dr. Wadah Khanfar says a beautiful thing. It was a hint to the Prophet ﷺ that the Kaaba needs to be overtaken. This is the surah when it was revealed that the Prophet ﷺ says that knew that the Kaaba one day has to be overtaken, because this is the ayah that gave the hint. And then the other ayah, when Surah Al-Isra, when Allah called for the Masjid Al-Aqsa, it's the furthest, it gave the hint that there's a masjid in the middle between Mecca and Jerusalem. So if you take, it's another, of course, ders. We'll get into masajid and their locations. But all in all, we have the Surah Al-Ma'un that tied people that are not careful with their salat as possibly abusing the poor. The connection there. Any questions about that? Anyone attended my khutbah yesterday? How many? Anyone attended the khutbah? Because I did a whole long one on it. So just a quick reminder for those who didn't attend. Yesterday we talked about an ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah when Allah says, why was Bani Israel called Bani Israel? Because they're the people of a covenant, an oath. What was the oath? وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ. So the covenant with Bani Israel was worship only Allah and be good to your parents, بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and your family members, ذِي الْقُرْبَى, be kind to them, and the orphans, وَالْيَتَامَى, and the masakeen, and the poor needy people, and say, speak well to the people, and then establish salah, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, and establish zakah. By the way, salah and zakah come in the Quran together about between 26 to 30 times, depending if you consider yunfiqoon as part of zakah or not, but 26 to 30 times coupled. Very rare do you see the word zakah without salah. Maybe two or three times in the Quran, the word zakah comes without salah. Why? Your salah has to manifest itself into proper wealth, like spending. Because what does zakah actually mean? Purification. And growth. And some people say there's a third one, islah, but the Raghb al-Aswani says about purification, that cleansing, and growth. So when you are paying zakah, it purifies you, And it will make you grow in hasanat, or grow in wealth, or grow in whatever. We know a sadaqah never ends up making anyone lose money. Yet we still have that trust issue, truly, really, even though people donate and know the money comes back. And they can point to the event and know it, still our stinginess is there. And this is why salah and zakat come hand in hand. Why? Because salah, without it manifesting itself in society, relationships, is like the salah of al-ma'un. Sahun. It's an unfocused salah. It's a salah you go through like you're driving a car. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, Rahim. It became an obligation. This is the power of Surah Al-Ma'un. Now let's go to Surah Al-Ma'arij. Any questions, first of all? If you have any questions, feel free to stop to ask. I'm happy to answer questions if there's any. Yes?
I have a small question. A few years ago, I listened to... I don't know if it's a lecture, like it's a Western, sure. It's a non-Muslim.
Yeah.
He's an atheist?
Yeah. I'm just repeating for the sisters upstairs. Yeah.
And he was discussing the Quran.
He was discussing the Quran, an atheist.
He's well known, he was discussing the Quran. And he mentioned his discussion that he's going to be objective, meaning non-aligned.
Yeah.
And he always stumbled on how the Quran mentions yatim.
Yes.
Yatam and taking care of yatam a lot of times.
Yes.
And today, I mean, subhanAllah, today sort of got the answer for this, why he's questioning that. And he pointed out that the reason is because Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was an orphan. That's why there's a lot of emphasis on orphans and so on. But from what we just discussed here, I feel that it's more of, subhanAllah, that the Quran is getting into the psychology of somebody who doesn't believe. If you don't believe, you don't pray. If you don't pray, you don't do zakah or sadaqah or care.
Yeah. And you, if you don't pray, so the real tie is when you don't care for poor people, masakin, ولا يحض على طعام المسكين, and orphans. When you don't care for the vulnerable society, matter of fact, this is how a Muslim state should be built. If we had, you know how people are like GDP and the growth and inflation. There's never a true KPI on this. A Muslim nation would monitor this, how many orphans were fed, how many orphans were abused. Matter of fact, I know this is going to get me Surah An-Nisa. The marriage of four in Islam is tied to orphans. The condition, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَ فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَبَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَ وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ. So the idea of, in Islam, why does even polygamy exist? When you look at the ayah, what was the preceding condition to marry a second, third, or fourth? It was to be just to the orphans. So social security in Islam, and caring for, not just to take it as orphan only, dhil qurba, family members, is given a precedent over al-yatam. So family members goes ahead. Why? Because you know them. And it's the harder relationship. And this is where your iman and test will come out fully. So Allah gives you a test always within family. Always. Never does I ever met a very pious person that never had a family test. You have to have a family test. It's like a... It comes with the package. Sayyidina Yaqub, whoever it might be, there's always a family member story. Or an uncle, Abu Lahab, who's really angry at you. Or there's always a family story. So the idea in Islam is it's sequential. And even in our zakah, we got addicted to the Western model of just give it to a charity. But you have no idea what happens. You don't follow up. It's just a number on an Excel sheet. It's gone. I'm not saying it's haram or halal. I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying the idea of zakah is that it changes you. Not in a way of show off or all that, but that you follow up, that you care, that you ask about the person, how are you doing? This idea that you made the cash on the charity is the same thing as a government being assigned. وَالْعَمِلُونَ عَلَيْهِ is in the Qur'an. Yes, people should work for charities and help, but we've lost the connection and the ultimate time. When will Muslims stop fighting in masjids and charities? When will that happen? When we help the poor. A sign we're not... When are you fighting when you have a lot of time? When you're busy, you don't have time to fight. You're like, I don't have time to fight. I really gotta get through. When you're busy serving, you don't have time for little stuff. And this is why you block the little stuff from coming out. Why? You're instilling a culture of fighting, a culture that keeps thinking about oneself. There's another person with the hand up. Was it here or no? Yes.
Would that link between faith?
Between faith,
Iman. Reflected in salah, zakat, etc. And the behavior. So the reflection from that onto the behavior, مسائل في الأتنهار and for examples like that.
Yeah.
And then the action. So the link between the three points, the action is.
Giving charity,
zakat. Some people say that link is. Some atheists say that if that's not actually satisfying those in action, then the faith at that point becomes just repetitive, and they conclude that at that point then you don't pay.
Let's talk about how the Quran sequenced it. Let's go to the covenant with children of Israel in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah says, worship nobody but Allah, God. And be good to your ihsan to your parents wa bil walidayn ihsan throughout the Quran, and then dhil qurba your family members, and then al yatama the orphans, and then al masakin the poor, and then qulu lin nas husna speak well to people. All these, is there any salah happening?
No.
None. All relationship, and then based on that wa aqimu salah. Look at Surah Al Maun. Allah started talking about food, helping the poor. Then the salah. Allah didn't say, you prayed, then you didn't feed. No, you didn't feed, so how could you pray? Again, please, brothers and sisters, don't take this. I didn't feed someone, so I'm not praying. I don't want to give the wrong. What I'm just saying is, and you'll get to see how the salah transformed the sahaba in Surah Al-Ma'arij. So these are beautiful connections. Is we have, you know, and I said this in the khutbah yesterday, when you tell your son or daughter, I want you to be an engineer or a doctor. The problem with that, if they're not good engineers or doctor, is you want to give them financial security, but to give them financial security, they need to be good at what they do. So sometimes we rush to the outcome instead of the process. And Allah says the process of a Muslim is one of فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى, one who serves and gives. Taqwa and ata come hand in hand. They're not decoupled. Because the people that say, wallahi, I pray five times in a masjid. I knew people back in another city pray in a masjid five times, but the guy beats up everyone in his family. Everyone. I used to beat up people in the masjid. And I'm like, man, Fajr, you're and everything there. And this is, and they always ask me, well, he prays. And I'm like, well, I want to go back to the Quran's definition of praying. Why? Because if the praying doesn't transform you to become a better human, this isn't about being perfect. The salah isn't about being perfect. It's genuinely going to, think of salah as a door. From the moment you say Allahu Akbar, you only see Allah in front of you. And when you say Allahu Akbar, Allah is bigger than any problem I have. I've exited planet Earth. Okay, I'm with Allah. I have problems. This is the salah, the connection. But if you're saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim Maliki Yawm al-Din Iyyaka Na'budu Iyyaka Nasta'in Ihdina As-Sirata Al-Mustaqim, and then, oh my God, spider web sirata, and I'll clean it after when I'm done. Alladhina an'amta alayhim. That is what I'm saying is sahoon. They're not in it. Remember in the hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that we should not be looking around in salah. Why? Because Allah is looking at you. So imagine you're in a meeting with, a very important person in your company. And in the middle of the meeting of the CEO, you just get on your phone while he's talking, and you do that. The CEO gets mad, right? Imagine in salah, you're doing this to Allah. So, and this is why we want to go back to the definition of salah. What did the Quran, it always says, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَتُوا الزَّكَاةِ. What is إِقَامَةُ الصَّلَاةِ? What is established salah? Let's go to Surah Al-Ma'arij. Any questions before I continue? I love this. This is very beautiful reflections. Keep it going. Okay. What happened in the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'arij? سأل سائل. An asker asked. Who's the asker? The Quran doesn't give you a name. From the tafsir, we know it's al-Nadr ibn al-Harith. But the beauty of it, he's not worthy of mention. بعذاب واقع. The one who went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you really are the Prophet of Allah, bring down a punishment right now. سأل سائل بعذاب واقع. للكافرين ليس له دافع. Nothing will stop the punishment from coming. And then Allah gave that man just two verses in the rest of the surah. That was it. He doesn't get mentioned again. But what Allah will mention in this surah is very impactful. Surah Al-Ma'arij begins off, an asker asked. It's a very bizarre thing in Arabic to say, or English, an asker asked. You could have said asked, but because the question is so stupid, the answer of it, according to some tafsir, is in, again, this is not, a, by the way, a majority opinion, is in Surah Al-Anfal. To Nadr ibn al-Harith, that said, why doesn't Allah bring the punishment down right now? He got killed in Badr. And Allah revealed the verse, I think it's 32, in Surah Al-Anfal, where he talks about now that it arrived. I'll get you the verse number for Surah Al-Anfal. But the answer to his question, you don't get to dictate when the punishment comes down. You don't get to time-bound Allah. You don't get to challenge Allah. And plus, even if angels came down, it's usually for punishment. So, سَأَلَ سَأَلَ كَفَرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ. Now, مِنَ اللَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ will pivot the surah. مِنَ اللَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ, that ma'arij, Allah, the one where ma'arij is the ascending. So the angels ascend towards Allah. There's a competition between the angels who serves Allah more. So really the question is, that question isn't worth answering. It's going to be answered in another surah, because throughout the surah you're like, oh, where's the answer? من الله ذي المعارج أن الله تعالى ما ذكرت إليه في يوم كان مقداره 50,000 سنة. This day, the recompense day, will be like, feel like 50,000 years. فاصبر صبرا جميلا. Have beautiful patience, يا رسول الله. Don't get ignited by people that are challenging you about this deen. Don't let them take too much space in your head. Don't let them, because we get impacted by criticism. And the Surah Al-Ma'arij says, those people of criticism, whether Surah Al-Ma'un, Abu Jahl, throwing off, or Surah Al-Ma'arij, Al-Nadr ibn al-Harith, and that, they should not take up much real estate in your head. And then Allah will talk about details of Yawm Al-Qiyamah, and then Allah will talk about that those people are going to be the first to sell out. They were the people that, we're a great family. How could you do this in my family? This, Allah says, Yawm al-Qiyamah, you're going to be selling out your own sons and daughters. You're going to be selling out your own wife. They're the people that are going to abandon each other. That even, there's a word in Surah Al-Ma'arij that's so scary. يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ. It was the hardest word for me to memorize. يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ, because it sounds like it's off. And it's the angels making you see your hamim, your best friend. That is your best friend. Isn't that your best friend? You have nothing to do with him. Nothing to do with him. So the angels tell you, look, this is the guy you were telling him, come, forget about salah, forget about this. يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ. Look at him. And you don't even look at him as if you had any loyalty in dunya to him. يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ is such a scary word. Anyways, Allah then will say, a few descriptions, and then إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا. Oh, هلوعا, this one we could, I could go now to Fajr. هلوعا. إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا. The natural state of a human is هلوعا. What is هلوعا? Two ways to describe it. There's a definition, but I want to use the Quranic definition. إذا مسه الشر جزوعا. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. So, when bad comes to them, جَزُوعُ is you one of two things. They panic. Panic is one of the attributes. Your nervous system basically melts down. And also, there's another description to it, which is you become impatient. You feel like the world is over. My life is going to end. My career is going to end. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُ جَزُوعًا. When they get money or they get good stuff, manu, they're stingy. So they make two mistakes. And this is out of the box human. And this explains why people say, well, we've discovered in mental health that humans stress out a lot. Lah. It's written in the Quran. 1400 years ago, if you wanted to read it. Halua. It's the default human attribute. Then the brothers and sisters will say, why did Allah create us like that? Why did we get created like that? Well, Allah will answer it right away. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ Except those who are praying. Those who pray. So the only way to exit the halu' state, and the halu' state is what makes you stingy, and the halu' state is why you can't help the orphan, because when he gets money, manu'a, he feels he'll never get that money back ever again. You know what? This might be my last check ever in my life. They feel Allah is stingy with the risk. The first sign of bad news, my life is going to end. This is the end. They're going to fire me tomorrow. This is it. So you become in a state of halua. Halua. What's the exit of this? So this is, by the way, default human. So you're like, I feel this all the time. Are you making fun? No, this is all of us. This is our default state. How do you exit it? إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ Except the prayerful ones, the ones who pray. What's the first thing attribute of the ones who pray? Now, this is a description of the impact of salah on you. And then this is why today I said we want to transform our salah. Our goal today is when we arrive in Maghrib, we take this into our Maghrib. Question? Do you have any question? Yes.
A bit off topic, but
yes.
Islam, why is it haram to show your belly button and your knees?
Okay, we have a beautiful question. That why in Islam can you not show your knee and above your belly button, below your belly button area? So Allah gets to dictate the areas we get to show and don't show. Okay? He dictates whether it's hijab, whether it's this, whether we have to cover our shoulders when we pray or not. Allah dictates it. It's His wisdom why that is the best from the belly button or above. Do we have all the answers? No. And the beauty of this question, it's a beautiful question, that the beauty of this is that we trust Allah, and when we trust Allah, we will understand eventually. Sometimes we don't understand. Like, why not maybe above the six pack? Yeah, question?
Is it mandatory as a kid? Like, is it necessary?
Yeah, it's a beautiful, is it mandatory for kids? It's great practice, you know? Of course, if you're a baby, it's a different story, and you're changing diapers. We all know that story that we all have. But as you get to that age, and you become responsible, and you mature, it is a mandatory thing.
After what age does it become mandatory?
It will depend, and I'll give you that answer in a bit after the salah, inshallah. Okay? You and I are going to have a beautiful one-on-one. Cool. So, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ And I love these beautiful questions. Keep them coming. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ The ones who are constant in their prayer. But daimun has another definition. Still. The ones that come into salah in a tranquil state. So how do you enter salah? You're in two modes. One, you want to protect, you're always doing, you're constant in your salah. I have a meeting, I have to go pray. I have to go pray. You're daim. And also, it does mean you're still. It doesn't show in the English translation, but daim. One of its things is that it's still, which tells you that once you're about to meet Allah, take your problems and just throw it in the garbage. And it's very hard to do. But throw it in the garbage, I mean, not that you should never address it. No, you should come to Allah with your problems. You should tell Him your problems. You should say, Allah, I have this problem and I'm not able to overcome it, but don't let it overpower you. Because some people, their whole salah is like, I'm never going to get that job interview. I'm never going to get that job. I really need that job into it. In a tranquil state, Ya Allah, you know best if this job is for me or not. I make this dua sincerely to you, Ya Allah. You make that dua in the proper way. When you enter that, you're in a da'im mode. So the first attribute of those who pray, da'im. Constant. They don't give up. They're persistent in their salah. And they're still. Still. Number two, subhanallah. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ And those in whose wealth is rightfully acknowledged share. حق معلوم is usually known as the zakah. My sheikh tries to remember, I'm like, there's a surah in the Riyat that says similarly. Let me see the verse in Surah Dhariyat, surah number 51, ayah number 19. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. I asked my sheikh, why is it in Surah Al-Ma'arij حَقٌ معلوم and it's not حَقٌ معلوم here? He's like, well, go back in the ayah and look what Allah labels. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكْ مُحْسِنِينَ. And before that, Allah talks that they're متقين. For a muhsin or a mutq, you'd never tell them you have to pay 2.5% zakat. They'll always go above it. So in Surah Al-Dhariyat, you have that trust of risk of Allah. You don't need to be told, did you pay the 2.5% that you have to pay? No. You don't need to be addressed by percentages. Dhariyat. In Surah Al-Ma'arij, haqqa ma'loom. Everyone knows we have to pay the 2.5%. The minimum is given in Dhariyat. They're always in maximum mode. They'll be given more than the 2.5. They're going to be 10, 15, 20%. Any questions so far about that? So far, so good. So we have these two ayahs that are almost replica, Dhariyat and Ma'arij. Let's go back to Surah Al-Ma'arij. وَالَّذِينَ يُصَدِّقُونَ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And those who believe in the day of... Now, the feature of these people in Salah, in Ma'un, يُكَذِّبُوا بالدين. In here, يُصَدِّقُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. So when they enter Salah, they have a few things. They come in a still manner, da'im, which makes them what? Deal with the halua, the impatience, that I feel something is wrong inside of me. Da'im, still. They try to cool themselves down. And this is why one of the advices, don't run to Salah. It's a hadith by the Prophet. I did it one time. It's wrong, okay? No one follow me on this one. I did in Masjid Al-Aqsa once. I heard the Fajr Adhan and I saw the door closed. I ran so fast, that the guards pulled out the gun and put me on the floor because they thought I killed someone. And I got my punishment. I thank Allah for the punishment. Don't get me wrong. But it's, why? Because I just wanted to pray in Masjid Al-Aqsa. I didn't appreciate the da'im. I didn't come at it in a still manner. It's just a check, but I need to pray in Masjid Al-Aqsa. But these guards, and the whole time I was so impatient. I'm like, man, when's this interview? They're replaying my video. He's like, did you kill someone? Did you do this? Did you do that? I'm like, man, I just want to pray Fajr. Just get me out of here. So, but I feel for Palestinians ever since that time. SubhanAllah, like it was a scary moment. And I really thought I was going to die just because Salat al-Fajr. But anyways, that's why you enter still. And then, Masal khayra manu'a, you give from charity from your money. Notice how Salah is tied to even zakah and giving charity. So one deals with being impatient, Salah cools you down. Charity, I don't want to be stingy with Allah. Allah gave me that money, you release that. And that's how you destroy that definition of halua. The jazua and manu'a get the first two. And then Allah will add, they believe in the day of yawm al-akhir. So anything you're going through, your boss is angry at you, yelled at you. You feel, oh, I'm so angry. And you're like, you know what, there's yawm al-qiyam. There is yawm al-qiyam. The truth will come out. It gives you that calmness and tranquil confidence in Allah. So you'll notice that the verse is escalating to make your salah quality. So when you're in the salah, and then the verse after, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِ مُشْفِقُونَ will be, and those who fear the punishment of their Lord. Jannah's not really mentioned here. Why? Your real worry is, am I going to go to Jahannam in the salah? Why is that important? Why is the mention of Jahannam important in Salah?
It will instill fear of Allah.
Fear of Allah? Exactly. And on top of that, it will add urgency into your action, because if we only had Jannah, you'd be like, you know what, I'll work harder tomorrow. But Jahannam makes you like, I need to do something now. So Jannah is an incentive, but Jahannam is that back burner that pushes you to act while you're still calm in Salah, but you know what, I need to come with my best game for Allah. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرَ مَأْمُونَ. And then, subhanAllah, I'm going to translate this, okay, brothers, in an asterisk, okay? وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Verse number 29. And those who preserve. I'm not going to continue the sentence. There. Okay? They're private, whatever. Why would Allah bring that verse as part of Salah? And I'll give the answer because we don't want to dabbar on this one in front of them. But one of the main answers is, when the nervous system, let's say their kids are in schools, they're watching the wrong kind of videos, or you're watching the wrong kind of videos, you dysregulate your body and you become jazua. It creates, it overwhelms your system, and it's scientifically proven that it actually ruins how your brain gets wired. It actually adds to halua. So if you do not preserve yourself, and this is advice to families overall is, if you find out content like that is being shared, or all of that, it's important to address it right away, not bury the item. Like, it never happened. Why? It's one of the blockers of salah. Because it creates a dysregulated humans. And a quality salah comes from preserving your chastity. I'm going to leave it at that and then move. But you see how the sequence is going up, up. So it starts, the core is what? Calm in the salah and constant in the salah. Two, wealth sharing. Three, the clarity of Yawm al-Qiyamah. The clarity of Jahannam. If I don't get this right, I might go to Jahannam. This clarity to make you urgent to work towards Allah. And then, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. And then we continue from there and we skip to verse, a very beautiful verse, verse number 32. And those who are faithful to their trusts and their covenant. Why would Allah bring... We're still talking about people that pray. See how Allah does not decouple in salah your daily life? So when you're going from Fajr to Dhuhr to Asr, your checkbox is, am I off in any of these? Did I promise someone and did I break it? Your salah should reorient you. Man, I shouldn't have broken that promise. I'm going to go back and fix that. So the salah is a door and a reminder five times a day for these things. Is my eye gazing at the wrong thing? Should I need to pull back? The salah is a reminder of that. And now you get to see the difference between the salah of al-ma'un and the salah of al-ma'arij. The salah of al-ma'arij is transformational. It's one that you are seeking help of Allah. And that's why, إِيَّكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. I need your help. I need the ista'ana of Allah in Surah Al-Fatiha. And after that, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us. You need help. You need to do the ibadah, the action first. You need the help of Allah, and then Allah will guide you. The tazkiyah before that, hidayah. So, الَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And this is verse 29, 30, 31, 32. And those who are faithful to their trusts and their covenant. And then the next conclusion, and those who stand by their testimony. So when you speak in front of people in public, you speak the truth. You can't speak the truth if any of the before are dysregulated. If you're watching the wrong things, public testimony becomes very hard. Why? Because you cheat in private. So how are you going to be honest in public? You've already trained yourself to cheat. And this is why salat is a check-in with Allah. How are you doing? How's it going? Are you helping the poor people? Are you lowering your gaze? Are you honest in your transactions? Are you paying people back their rights? You're checking in with Allah. That's the connection. That's the beauty of salah. And this is why you'll see today, we probably have the record people in Kaaba today doing Hajj and Umrah. We have the record. I don't think in the history of mankind we had that gazillion million people doing tawaf. It's not about the numbers. It's about these checkpoints. How many of us are doing this? And this is why when people are like, I hear a lot of people making dua. I hear people, a lot of people say, I prayed. But did you pray like this? Did you pray with that sincere effort to become a better human? And this is why Surah Al-Ma'arij comes and fixes in all of us problematic areas so that we can become better humans. And that's why Tazkiyah Zakat, purification of money, and it grows. Also, in Surah Al-Kahf, when Sayyidina Musa said, "Qatatu nafsan zakiyya," did you kill a pure soul, the kid? When he killed the kid, what is the verse after? "Qataltu nafsan zakiyya." What's the verse after that? there is a aqrabu rahma. There's the word zakah in there, but that zakah is not charity of money. What is that zakah? Is that it's the same origin word of the zakah? It's when you're a better, they're going to be replaced with a khayr, a better son, who's more pure, and will grow iman-wise faster. So that was why the word zakah was used there. So the word zakah is used throughout the Quran for tazkiyah, for a better human, for purifying your wealth. That word is combined with salah, is combined قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. So tazkiyah, whether it's purifying of wealth or just tazkiyah of a nafs, which is purifying one's soul, salah is tazkiyah of a nafs. Charity is tazkiyah of money. If you have these two twin engines going with you the whole time, you're truly praying the way the Prophet ﷺ prayed. That was the salah of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is why he could be long in the salah, because that connection of, imagine the Prophet ﷺ prayed like this. And Sayyidina Ibrahim ﷺ said, In the verse before, Rabbi ja'alni muqim, Rabbi ja'alni muqim al-salat, there's another verse where he say, Rabbi ja'al min dhurriyyati wadi ghayri zinni 'inda baytika al-muharram. He made a dua for the people coming to Mecca to provide for them. And it's a beautiful ending in Surah Ibrahim, where the Sayyidina Ibrahim makes a dua, a few duas. One of them is, make me from those who establish salat. I find that such a strange dua, because he's already there, he's the number one, but he's making a dua for it. So we all need to make the same dua that Sayyidina Ibrahim makes, which is, oh Allah, make me from those who establish salat. Ja'alni muqim as-salat. And then he made the dua, wa min dhurriyyat. So he started with himself, min dhurriyyat. For me, it's like, yeah, ah, Rabb, just my sons and my daughters pray. But I would have skipped me. But this dua tells you, no, not even he skipped himself. So make the dua for yourself to be the establisher of prayer, because you set the role model. If you establish the prayer the way Allah wants, your kids will see it. And they see that the prayer, like this, is transformational. It changes you. Let's take a quick pause. Any questions so far? We've done ma'arij. What does praying, the proper praying, look like? And ma'un, what does the not proper praying look like? Any questions about the duality here? Is it clear, the two sides of it? Anything unclear? And I didn't know if the sisters had a question. I didn't look at my phone, but yes.
The son being killed, was that the one from
the
calf?
What?
The son being killed, is that from calf or?
It's Surah Al-Kahf, yes.
That's what you're talking about?
Yeah. The story of Musa alayhi salam and Khadr.
Oh.
Yeah. Any other questions? So far so good?
Confusion.
Yes.
Since
Surah Al-Ma'un, I'm just repeating for upstairs.
Yeah. Show off. Praying so that other people can
say that you prayed.
Yeah.
Yura'un.
Yeah. Relating so that other people can see your own.
Yeah, how amazing you are.
So where do we pause this in our lives? How do we pray? For example, do I stop to come to congregation?
No. Don't stop the congregation. No, like this is an ask by the Prophet ﷺ to bring the community together, and this is a high reward. The question is, when you come, do you do it because other people see you? So the munafiqeen used to do that. They came to the congregation, and actually they came first line, to appear that they're the better ones. So the question of riyah, or showing off, is only something Allah will be able to see. You cannot even tell if I have riyah or not. I look like I'm doing it for Allah. You don't know. Allah can say, Yawm al-Qiyamah, Ahmad did it to show off. There's no way you can deduce it. You're the only one that knows, and you're the only one should make the dua. There is a dua to protect oneself from showing off or doing it for riyah and doing it for others. And you have to understand, sometimes intentions do get contaminated. So you're not one, riyah or not riyah. It's not binary. Sometimes you're no riyah. Sometimes one time you have riyah. What does that call for? Istighfar and tawbah. When you recognize. What does that mean? You're aware. You're self-aware. So you have istighfar and tawbah. Does that mean none of us in this room ever did riyah? No. It just means when it happens, recognize it and reverse. Okay? Does that help answer the question? Any other questions? Yes.
Is it not that it could be a waswasa from the shaitan that you are doing riva? So you need to continue doing that.
Yes. And actually, it's a beautiful question. That the shaitan does work like you're not sincere enough. Or this, there are things that you can do to reverse to prove it to yourself. Like, for example, when you donate, if you get waswasa a lot, go to a place and donate without anyone seeing you. Go to a place and just no one sees you and donate. Don't tell anyone. There's some of the tabi'een that their wives wouldn't know that their husbands fasted. They're like, how come that is? They would leave in the morning and they'd ask their wife for a meal. So it looks like I'm leaving. They'll come back home after Maghrib. They found that when they died, that they fasted. Why? They were afraid of riya. So sometimes it's a personal thing. Like, some people take it that far. Some others, like, man, I get hungry, so I gotta tell someone, like, I'm hungry. But I'm just saying, you should always practice something in always... because even people ask about donating. Should I donate in public or private or all that? You should be dual. When you feel like you want to do it to show off, don't do it. When you feel like, you know what, I clearly feel don't have riya in my heart, I'm doing this to make other people and I want to get sawab, you do it. But then if you did it and you felt good and the sheikh made you feel good, don't do it. So it's the beauty of Islam is that it's a continuous, progressive workout of sincerity, ikhlas, until you become like milk, coming out of the Surah An-Nahl, from the Rafat, from the belly of the cow. It comes out from a dirty area, pure white. That's ikhlas. Beautiful questions. Any other questions? Yes. Because there's a beautiful surah called Surah An-Nas, which we did before. And Allah tells us, "You waswisu fi sudur an-nas." So He whispers in your heart. And if you hear something, a voice in your head telling you something bad, it could be you, and it could be shaitan. How do you know for sure it's shaitan? You won't know for sure, because you can't see. But in general, whether it's nas or jinn, if it's a bad thought, let's try to kick it out. But knowing it's shaitan said it or you, doesn't matter, because you have to kick out that idea anyways. So knowing it's him for sure will not help the answer the question. It's knowing if it's you or him, it's one of us. And that's why the surah says, قُلْ عَذَرُ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرُّ السَّوَاسِ خَنَاسِ الَّذِي وَسُدُرُ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. Because it could be just another friend telling you, hey man, let's do something really bad. Let's spray water on each other or something. Like you guys used to do in Darawiyah. Or something like that. But something like that. But these are the kind of things that the waswas. And that's how we know it's a whisper. Waswas is the whisper. You waswas. Yes, question over there. A jinn in an animal or a cat? Yeah. I know people that I have never met two things. The jinn before, and I've never met the jinn in the cat and the dog. I do get calls about a cat that has a jinni in it, and I usually tell them, just go pray two rakas, you'll be fine. There's no jinni in the cat, okay? Just leave it alone, because the idea, even if it is, and then what are you gonna do? You're gonna be like, hey, meow, come out of there. You know, like even, like I always say, let's work, let's say it's true. Let's say it's true. The cow had a jinni in it. Am I gonna start reading Surah Al-Baqarah to the cow? I'm not, okay? Like, yeah, you read, there are surahs we read when we think there is, for ruqya, and you don't have to bring a sheikh to read the ruqya, you can read the surahs. And they're well known, like the surahs that protect you against that. But in general, we always said this in the tafsir of قُلْ أَعُوذُ بَرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, that this external threat, jinn, all that from outside, magic, all hasad, envy, you call upon Allah once. But from the evil whispers in our own heart, you call Allah three times. The internal risk in Islam is given three, triple the weight of external risk. In Islam, we flipped it. La, envy is the reason why everything bad is happening. Okay, you're saying like the whole world runs only through envy. There is envy. But do not make it your day. Yani, some people make it their workout in the gym. Who made hasad to me today? This guy looked at me in the morning. Don't. It happens. It's haqq. it's an evil eye, don't obsess over it. Because some people make it their main thing. Any other questions? I don't know what time is the 8:12, inshallah. Any other questions we have from the sisters or anyone about these two surahs? Let's do a quick review of the surah. So, we learn in Surah Al-Ma'un, the connection between that when we don't serve and help, our salah could be offbeat. We learned that from Surah Al-Ma'un. That it's almost connected that we need to help the poor and we need to serve, and that we said that over 26 times in the Quran, salah and zakah are mentioned together. They're never decoupled. Even the beginning of the Surah Al-Baqarah, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen, وَيُنْفِقُونَ مِمَّا رَزَقْنَا. So the construct of salah and spending comes together. Very rare the spending as a word zakat comes without salah. Rare. And this tells us that as we should be looking to build initiatives as a masjid, how could we be the best community in all of Ottawa to help the poor? We should be number one. What? That's the Quran. We should have a target as a masjid. How do we become number one in feeding the poor in Ottawa? We should be a machine in helping the poor, not for riya, but for the sake of Allah. This is a sign not to show off. We don't want the media to say, yeah, alhamdulillah, Muslims are finally donating to everyone and all that. This is not the goal. The goal is to say, we do this because Allah said so. And if we're number one, then we know we did it for the sake of Allah. If we can come with that intention, may Allah, inshallah, grant us that intention, that an ability to be able to serve the poor and the homeless. And subhanAllah, a scholar says something amazing, that there are people that help the poor for the photo shoot. It's like the politician. But they get disgusted from them. The Muslim is the opposite. They know that that could have been them. And they know, they don't question poverty. This is an important thing, because once you stop doing that, you view your fellow humans as equal. You don't say like, look, they're very poor. They deserve this. Look, he's drunk. Look, he's on this. You don't know what they went through. You don't know. You don't judge them. Because all it takes is one accident in your life and you're like them. You don't know. So do not belittle other people is the main lesson. And finally, we said, and Allah said in Surah Al-Ma'arij, the people who pray are constant. They donate. They understand judgment day. There's a hisab, and they're aware of it in their salah. I'm going to get judged for all these wrong transactions I did. And they fear Yawm Al-Qiyam, they fear Jahannam, and they protect their star. And then their covenant, they fulfill their oath and promises always. They're trustworthy in that. They do their public trust, and look how it concludes. And then for their salah, they're hafidhun. Hafidhun means, so it starts da'imun and ends hafidhun. Now they use that to protect their salah. These actions are protecting their salah. They are always protecting their salah. Their salah is something special. It no longer becomes, I have to pray dhuhr, I have to pray asr. You get it out of the monotonous mode. And this is the beauty of salah, that because a lot of ugly salahs could lead to stale in a relationship with Allah. The salah should be all of us reminding each other to make it more beautiful with Allah, more deep, more closer, inshallah. May Allah grant us an ability to pray like Surah Al-Ma'arij. May Allah protect us all from the prayer like Surah Al-Ma'un. And may Allah make us from those who have compassion for the poor and compassion for the people that went through difficulty and the orphans. May Allah grant us the ability to transform our community through salah and zakah, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did with the sahaba, inshallah, and the tabi'een. Subhanallah, bihamdik, la ilaha illallah, al-asr, inna al-insana lafi illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihati wa tawassaw bil haqqi wa tawassaw bis sabr. Inshallah, adhan of maghrib now.